Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is the Ministry of Arts podcast, where each week I'll be speaking to a different artist. Now let's begin by bagging these bongos.
Yeah, right. Crazy.
190 episodes in, and that music still puts a smile on my face. Well, this week, from Friday the 23rd of September through to Sunday the 25th, we're going to be promoting the Ministry of Arts podcast at the New Artist Fair, which is at the Truman Brewery just off Brick Lane. So if you happen to be passing, pop in and say hi. There's going to be hundreds of artworks from dozens of artists. And the beauty of an art fair is the artist is standing next to their work. What a beautiful way to engage, right? Well, today I'm speaking to a member of an art collective called Edgar Arts. I met them in the summer at the Talented Art Fair, and for me, their work really stood out. They're fundamentally free tattoo artists who also produce paintings on, well, canvas, MDF, galvanised steel, whatever the subject requires, really. And the studio of Edgar Arts definitely reflects that. When you walk into their studio, each artist has their own area, which has their tattoo bench, also a couple of easels. When they're not creating with ink and a needle, they're using a brush and paint. Their work probably works so well together because they're long-term friends that work together in an open studio, and various influences bleed from one artist to the next. As I mentioned, Edgar Arts consists of three artists. That is Luke, Matt and Jay. Unfortunately, only Luke was available on the day I visited the studio. But as you can imagine, because they work in such close confines and have known each other for years, each of them knows the other inside out anyway. So please, come and join me and Luke from Edgar Arts. This afternoon, I'm at Edgar Arts in North Essex on the Essex-Suffolk border. And I'm here with Luke. Could you tell us what and who is Edgar Arts?
So it started off with me as Luke Edgar. We've got Matthew Huggett and Jay Goodwin. We all tattoo and we all produce different types of art, basically. So my work mostly consists of work on metal and working into it of putting down thin layers and then scratching through the surface with as many different tools as I can. So tattooing the metal, scratching it with needles, electric sanders, anything that can get through the metal basically, and just a constant experiment with that, and then trying to pull some of that back into actually tattooing people, them techniques.
So is Edgar Arts an art studio or a tattoo studio?
Well, it's both, but we wanted it to be an art studio that you get tattooed in, basically. So it was like, you know, we didn't want it to be a shop. We're quite off the beaten track as well.
Yeah.
You have to be able to find us, as you found, with coming here, you know. But it's, Yeah, we just want it to be a space that's a creative space, that's like the room's constantly moving, you know. It's not, it's definitely not decorated. It's a room, it's a working room.
Yeah.
You know. So, and I think it keeps the creativity there with all of us, because Matt works on, he's currently working on MDF and then scratching through it,
yeah.
And carving, and then Jay does like oil on canvas and is learning to tattoo. But being surrounded by it every day is kind of, as opposed to having an art studio and a tattoo studio, it's constantly,
yeah.
It's constantly ticking as so well.
Was it tattooists who also created artwork, or was it artists who also tattooed?
Well, it started off, you know, my whole childhood was all drawing and painting and everything like that, but I knew I wanted to tattoo from like super early age, really. So it was they both came together, like it, and it's the same thing. It's almost like working in pencil or paint and then tattoo. You know, it's just another medium, and it's and you know, recently been changing a lot of like the way I'm thinking about tattooing, as almost not wanting to put imagery on people,
yeah.
but try and create like look at the body as a whole.
Yeah,
you know, rather than. Okay, can I have this on my arm? Can I have that? I think as well, through doing like full size figures, it's more trying to look at like the textures, not that there's video, but like I'm working on a portrait of my other half, Kerry, and almost like the textures going through her leg. It's like and her arm would be interesting to just fill up a body,
yeah.
and to change a body completely, you know, almost make him like a different species in a way.
And they do look like, from my perspective,
yeah.
they do look like tattoos on metal. Yeah. Aluminium, is it?
This is galvanised steel. So well, that's the way these new pieces have been going. So it's kind of... I've done a lot of studying of like the sort of old master paintings of glazing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
You can see that there.
Yeah, it's a form of that, but like without using any white, yeah. basically. So like I'm only using like pure pigments... pigments of colour and black, basically, and just building up really thin layers, but then tattooing through it to get to the next layer underneath, if that makes sense.
And your canvas, well, if we can call it that,
yeah.
is possibly 6 foot by,
I think,
3 foot, 7 foot by three.
Yeah, these ones, so the biggest ones are 7 foot, but then this triptych is like 10 foot wide by 7 foot tall, this one that's behind yeah. there. So... Yeah, because I think as well, with part of that is through tattooing, I feel like, is working on a body and making it work as an entire body makes me feel like I want these to be human-sized,
yeah.
if you know what I mean, like to be kind of absorbed by it a little bit. So, yeah, the scale has been playing a big part in it recently.
And it's got a lot of weight visually, hasn't it? I mean, you can see the steel anyway, but... Yeah, you can see from a distance that it's not canvas. That it is heavy. It has got a visual and actual weight.
Yeah, well, and that's partly like that. I like that they're not delicate like a tattoo. That I'm putting it in your skin, and then yeah. you get to live the rest of your life, and it's not going anywhere. You know, it's the same kind of thing with this. Is I feel like I don't want to work on something that's delicate. You know, I want it to be this solid thing. But I've only really been working. On portraits since my daughter was born,
yeah.
So it was, I think it was more seeing that, you know, that Kerry made a whole person. It kind of made me feel like, right, I want to see if I can make a person basically with this,
yeah.
and
yeah.
thinking of it more sculptural, you know. And I think as well, where I'm breaking through the layers, it's almost like a micro sculpture
yeah.
in a way, because it is sculpture. All painting sculpture, obviously, isn't it? Because of the layers, but. Yeah. Trying to think of it more
and
in that way.
The materials that you use,
yeah.
on there, it looks like from here, it looks like there's three or four different materials that you've used.
Yeah.
On the one of your daughter that we're looking at.
Yeah.
What materials have you used on there?
So the base of that was when I was experimenting with using water as a mask.
Yeah.
So that's rain. So I let. You know, if it's raining, I make sure I'm at the studio so that I can be there when it stops, so that I lay all my paintings out and then I can spray over the top of the rain. So it's kind of that time then as well. It's like of that season.
Yeah.
So spray paint as a base, then thin layers of oil paint, And then
applied how, with brush or
that's with a brush. Sometimes I'll use sticks to kind of put a load of oil paint on a stick. You can't really see. And then I've got self-portrait here, and a lot of that was done like with gloves, and then just covering my hands in the gloves in paint, and then trying to smear it that way. So it's sort of trying to. It's all about putting paint down and then trying to take it off, but in lots of different ways, basically. So, like, trying to take it off while it's still wet, while it's halfway dry, while it's completely dry. So, whether I'm pulling it off with gloves, or whether I'm taking it off with a tattoo machine, sanding it, or, you know. So, they are paintings, but there isn't much painting that's very... The painting bit is, like, literally me just putting down a layer and then taking it off.
Yeah.
You know,
do you do portraits in your ink work, in your tattoo work?
I have done a lot of portraits, but currently I'm sort of more focused on trying to make I'm tattooing an MMA fighter at the moment, and it's the thing of, we're almost trying to make him, like, the idea was to make it an armor all over him, but almost like an ectoskeleton or an exoskeleton.
Yeah, you know,
and to be able to be stood away on the other side of the cage to him, and it's like, what the fuck is that that's standing in front of me, you know? So it's almost trying to transform a body in a way I'm sort of more interested in at the moment. I still love doing something like portraits, but I feel like currently I want to be able to take over a body and make it like a different thing, you know, that's one of the things I like about tribal tattooing is if you'd never seen someone covered in tribal, you know, if you'd never seen a Polynesian warrior before, and then you see that, it's almost like you'd see him as a different species, you know. I don't want to do tribal tattooing, but I want to have that essence
and
of
that
it.
Feel, yeah.
That's what interests me at the moment. Trying to push that, and I'm lucky that, and still having imagery within that, but almost like it's built into you and then becoming part of your skin, so there's no like real necessarily hard edges in it, but I'm lucky that a lot of people are open-minded and we get to talk about this stuff and really go through it.
So you're saying
beforehand
that,
you know,
saying that you want to use an entire person's body to put your ink on. Your wife has just left, and she said she had no tattoos before she
That's
met
it,
you.
Yeah.
And from I could just like with her t-shirt, and I could see she had 3 or 4 tattoos there.
Yeah.
So is that the canvas that you're speaking of?
Yeah, that's definitely one of them. If you look through our living room window, there will be a tattoo bed up.
And we look at a portrait of your wife here.
Yeah.
And I can't see any tattoos on her body on this one, which is.
Yeah.
She's laying down in a sort of semi-fetal position, with a top on, and you can see a leg from the thigh down and a arm from the shoulder down.
Yeah,
I can't see any tattoos on there. Have you left them off, or
they will be on?
Okay,
but now is the kind of the interesting bit of whether. So at the moment, I'm sort of thinking of it as like looking at a lot of like 3D modeling and things like that, where they'll create like. Almost a net of the of a figure, you know. So that's kind of the way I've worked with this: is to create a base, a base sculpture, and then light it in glazes. So I will tattoo it, but now it's doing it of like, do I tattoo her of how far we are already, or do I finish her tattoos, basically,
so that she knows what's to come.
There's your design. But I think I'll do it as we are now, because then it's sort of like a little snapshot of, and by the time I actually tattoo it, it'll end up being different, you know.
And they're all very dark. Even the portrait that I'm looking at that is on a sheet of steel, with the raw steel in the background, that's very dark, very menacing and atmospheric. Is that because of tattoo?
Do you know what? I think, I didn't really notice it until I started showing my work more, and then people are kind of like, are you okay, you know? But I think a lot of it actually is I work at night, so I feel like they're kind of like nighttime. Like I colour I find interesting when the colour is almost completely sucked out, you know, and really trying to study colour in that way of, you know, if I'm walking to my studio, looking at what does that bit of grass look like in the daytime and then what does it look like at nighttime? And it's like, it's that...
it's not green, is it?
No. It's not green anymore. It's like it's there's green under it, but then it's almost like there's just this black film over the top of it, you know? So it's trying to find that. I kind of want it to be that bit of it's just colour. The colour's just showing through.
I mean, I think there's got to be some relationship with your tattoo work.
Yeah.
Because in the studio, we've got three lots of work out.
And, yeah.
You know, it's the three that you mentioned earlier. Because if I turn around and look at Jay's work...
Yeah.
Jay's work is traditional oil paints.
Yeah.
But obviously with a contemporary feel.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd take much to realise that he tattoos as well.
Yeah.
And with Matt's work...
Yeah.
He's work that I'd seen previously. He uses red a lot as a background.
Yeah.
His new work, as you say, he's carving into MDF. But you can still see a tattoo relationship in his work as well as Jay's.
Yeah, it's interesting because when we've shown work before, quite a lot of people have come up and said, like, oh, wouldn't that look interesting as a tattoo? Yeah. And we say, like, oh, we are tattoo artists. Like, oh, okay, so that's quite interesting that it does seep through, you know? And it's kind of, I think it's trying to break the barrier sometimes that people can differentiate between tattooing and I suppose like a traditional painting, because it's ultimately the same thing that your brain's doing, you know. It's, I don't know, sometimes people may think of a tattoo as being a lesser thing, you know.
Yeah.
I suppose it depends who you are, but it's
a few years ago possibly.
Yeah, I think it's changing. Well, because to me it's that thing of, you know, it's not, you know, you're going to put this on your body and then you're going to live with it for the rest of your life, and you let me have a limb or something, you know. It's quite a compliment to for that. But yeah, no, I really love the way Matt's work's going at the moment. It's going in some interesting directions where it's becoming sculpture basically, isn't it?
Does he cut that up in here?
He does, yeah.
And he just uses a hand scribe, doesn't
he? Yeah, he's using tools similar to, like, that you'd use in lino.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. But he's going to start going... it's interesting as well, because his dad was a carpenter. So now he's going back to that kind of fundamentals of wood. So I think he's actually going to be start using traditional tools in that way.
Well, when I saw Edgar Art's showing before, which is obviously all three of you show together...
Yeah.
He had woodcut prints, didn't he?
Yeah.
And yeah, they were properly impressive.
And so it come from that basically, because he was doing these prints, you know, carving into wood or carving into lino, then printing them on paper. Then he was like, he liked the lino and the wood better than the print. Yeah. So then it just seemed more interesting. He was keeping them, and if we're talking about the work, we end up looking at that more than the print. So it turned into, let's actually make something from that.
Nice.
Which is interesting. And it's got a similar, again, with like bringing it to tattooing, it has a similar cutthroat thing that tattooing does of when I make a mark, it's there, it's permanent. There's no going back, which is interesting from the way Jay works. He mostly works black and white kind of figurative oil paintings, and he will work on one of them paintings for 2 or 3 months, but he can slowly chip away at it. And if, you know, he will layer, say, if, you know, an area is too dark, then he will lighten it, or an area, you know, or vice versa. But with tattooing, he has to work in a different way.
His darks, his work, he works light and shade. He concentrates a lot on the shade, doesn't he? Again, for atmosphere, like yourself and Matt's work that we're looking over. Well, one in particular, the one of the red ones, and the carved surface, both of those are very dark as well. So it is that dark atmosphere that's emanating from the studio. So it must be the tattoos.
And I think working together, and constantly seeing, it's funny as well, because we always say it's like passing ships in the night. We don't always work, we're not always painting at the same time, almost quite rarely. Usually we're in there on our own, and one of us will take over the studio. Well, probably me or Matt will take over the studio, because Jay sort of sticks to his bit, and he's the tidier one. Me and Matt will take over, especially Matt. But I think they all work. Jay is the tidier one, definitely. Right, but it makes sense of his work. And then it's quite funny, because I feel like when we've shown our work, it almost looks like a progression of Jay's work is pretty tight. Matt's work can be, I say loose is the wrong word, but just maybe a bit more out there. And then mine's like somewhere in the middle, you know? And it's sort of all of us as people as well. So, but yeah, it's interesting seeing our work feed off of each other, because constantly talking about ideas, or even like we have lots of books in here, and we always leave books open on each other's sort of workspaces. And we don't necessarily talk about the books, but we have conversations through the images, leaving them on there every night.
So, I mean, Jay's work being light and shade, it's generally the female form, and they are quite seductive to the eye, aren't they? There's a lot of eye contact with the sitter. Does he work from photo or life or both?
Both, both usually. And a lot of the time as well, he'll work from multiple photographs. So there'll be 20 different photographs, and it'll be like, you know, I like the nose from that. Yeah, I like the shoulder from that. I like, you know, so they kind of, they start in that way. Usually it's an interesting process. I've learned a lot through watching him, and I've definitely stolen a lot of techniques because he's a real technician. He really understands how to move paint, you know, and understands all, you know, if he's not painting, he's studying painting. So I get to steal everything from him, basically.
So we're sitting here just with one member of the trio. I'll be asking you questions, but I'll also ask you questions about them if you know the answers.
Yeah.
So if we work our way round to you from Jay, how did Jay get into art? Any idea? Because I know that he comes from a similar area to where I come from in East London, Essex. Art really isn't on the curriculum for most kids around now.
Yeah.
Did he grow into it, walk into it? Or?
Well, he done a lot of it as a kid, and then kind of went in other directions, and, you know, still sketched along the way, but didn't necessarily paint. And then later on in his life, started to pick it up again, and then just went full pelt and does this full time now. Nice. You know, but it's always been on the back burner.
Yeah.
You know, it's always kind of, because it's an interesting thing where Kerry, my other half, her dad has just started drawing in the last couple of years, and he said that he's realised like he's only just seeing the world. You know, as you being an artist, when you see anything, you're picking up, like, you're drawing everyone you talk to. You're looking at light and shade and everything like that. So
fucking murder, isn't it?
It is, because you can't turn it off. Once it's there, you can't turn it off. And so he's always had that. So it's interesting to now he's really, really pushing and painting every day, you know? You know, it's almost like the work you produce is irrelevant, isn't it? It's the way that you're viewing the world. And this is just like a little bit of I always think of it like an exhale. You know, you've inhaled all of this and you need to get some of it out. And probably it's a small percentage that you can get out just with the amount of hours you have in a day, you know.
And Matt, do you know where Matt got into
it? Yeah, so I met Matt about probably 10 years ago. We both learnt to tattoo together. So we learnt from Jason Butcher and Leanne Mole. So we done our apprenticeship together. So he done his first tattoo the day before I done mine.
Oh, nice. And where was that?
Where did you say? Chelmsford.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were super lucky to learn from, like, amazing artists.
Yeah, I'm sorry the tattoo world.
Yeah, no, exactly. But, yeah, no, they're amazing. So it's like, you know, it wasn't even that they taught us to tattoo. It was way more than that. You know, it was like a mindset, a way of thinking.
Yeah.
And Jason would get obsessed with anything, you know. So it's kind of, he got into chess. Now he's got like a Russian chess coach. He's now into frisbee, but he's like, you know, obviously ridiculous at it. So it's trying to push that mindset of it's, you know, how you do anything is how you do everything, or the other way around, you know. But so we were super lucky to learn off of some good people. And then I opened this place last year, and it was kind of a natural thing for Matt to be here as well.
And did you open it as an ink studio or an art studio or both?
It's both, because I would work half of my time at Immortal Ink, and then half time I had another art studio. Okay. And it was lockdown hit, and I knew I wanted to do this anyway, and then lockdown hit. It was just kind of the thing of, I loved being, my house become my art studio. My house looked like this and was just covered, you know.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So it's that thing of like, I need my own space to just be able to cover it and not be disrespectful to someone else's space as well, you know. Yeah. But I love it. It's been a massive game changer. This place. That's the ultimate for me, though. Honestly, I love it. Like, this is a 5-minute walk from my house, so it's almost like it's in my house.
Yeah.
But the absolute ultimate for me is the whole house is it. Like, if I'm walking to the toilet, I can do a bit of painting on the way or whatever, you know, or just to be able to be constantly in it. I love, but it's nice to have a separation as well, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. I bet the other half is.
Yeah, she likes it. Well. And there's still art stuff everywhere. There's still easels everywhere, so it's like, it's got to happen.
Well, some of the work you're creating, personally, at the moment, you've got a large self-portrait, a portrait of your wife, and a portrait of your new child.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they are going to be a part of this next question, but which piece that you've created do you think has got the strongest emotional connection?
These ones, because, you know, not only, it's always the ones you're working on, isn't it?
Yeah.
But especially because of what they are, you know, it's your family, isn't it? So it's that kind of really trying to, they're, I suppose, fairly stressful to do as well, because it's kind of, especially seeing how perfect Kerry made a person. Now I have to try and do the same. So no pressure. But yeah, definitely these ones, it's happened quite naturally, actually. It was more like the need, like I have to make portraits.
Yeah.
Once she was born, I didn't have that before. I've always worked figuratively, but I've never wanted it to be of a person.
Yeah.
And then while she was pregnant, I was working on this one, I called it Mother Nature. So it's a figure that's growing out of the earth and is pregnant. So at the time of doing that's about how pregnant she was. So it's quite interesting now to have that and then the actual baby out. But because the one of Florence is, she's right in the middle and quite alone. So a lot of it was trying to think of, at some point, you know, as your kids are getting older, like at some point, hopefully she'll be able to fend for herself and, you know, she'll go out on her own in the world in a way, you know, and she's so vulnerable right now and on her own in the middle of the canvas.
Way we're looking at her, she is laying on her back looking sort of up at possibly like 2 o'clock, if you like, at an angle. And, you know, your wife's next to her at that angle, isn't she, you know?
Yeah.
Are they going to be shown together or are they separate entities?
Well, they started off as separate entities, but since working on them, I feel like they need to be one piece. Actually, and especially when they are together, I think they have to be together, basically. Yeah. So it's a very similar palette as well. I'm working with them.
As we've been sitting here talking about your work, and I've been looking at it, I'm trying to figure out whether the figures are in the dark or coming into the light.
Yeah,
you know, it is whether they're sort of stepping back or stepping forward.
Yeah.
And it is definitely the light that's triggering your baby. Well, you've got to get the same light on your wife, on your partner.
Yeah. Exactly that. That's the thing that is sort of, that does fascinate me, is that kind of well, one of the things anyway, visually, how light creates an object, basically, and how darkness creates that, that object. So the one of Kerry, I came home from the studio and saw a lane like that, basically, and I was like, that's fucking perfect. So I, like, stood on the bed with the camera and tried not weird, and it obviously freaked her out, and she wasn't super happy about it. So that wasn't the picture I got, because the picture I got was her more getting up, like, what the fuck? Yeah, exactly. But I think it's normal if you live with me that if you sit there long enough, I will draw you, you know? So this is 2.0 of me actually getting her to pose for me.
Yeah.
But it's super, like, so I've been doing lots of work from life of her, like, lots of sketches. So I went through and done, like, a sketch a night of her. It's really trying... understand the fact, and I draw Florence most days
as
well.
And the thing is, the camera wouldn't get that.
You can't get it
either, would it?
No, and exactly that with the light at night, like, because you can't pick up you can't pick up them colours.
Probably could, but you would have to be a fucking good photographer.
Yeah, and I'm not.
A fucking good light crew.
Yeah, and I'm not, and I don't, and it's, and I really want to pick up, like, what my eyes are seeing.
Yeah.
So it's that thing of trying to, because I said it to her earlier, she's like, pretty weird, because I was like, when I come home, I'll just sit and look at, like, the color, like, what actual color is her skin?
Because not, that tree isn't brown and green.
No,
of a night,
it's now orange green. Because of the light, or it's, yeah, exactly. And trying to forget that skin is this color, because right now she's purple, it will be glazes, but when you actually look at her skin in that tone, because it's mostly, she's mostly lit by an orange light, so it will be lit differently to Florence, but it's yeah, you have to kind of forget what you think skin is, you know. So it's interesting.
So going back, when did you first use metal as your canvas?
It was probably about four years ago. Well, way before that, actually. I started scratching Coke cans, because I used to use dry point print, and then I didn't have a press anymore, so I was like, I want to scratch something, and I want to, like, how can I do it? So then I started scratching, like, Diet Coke cans that were black, and then that turned into metal shelves, and then they got bigger and bigger and bigger, basically. But I would love to work huge.
Side of a boat.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to do, like, a side of a building, and because they, like, this is galvanized steel, but then I've got some outside. That's not galvanized, so it's like trying to work with kind of like a tattoo of you know, if you're tattooing and you're putting two lines parallel to each other, you have to think about how's that going to age, how are they going to blend in with each other. Yeah. It's still got to work as things will spread and as things lighten. So it's, I'd like to work on something outdoors so that I have to think about how it ages, you know, or how it will rust and how it would. So I'd love to do something big with metal, you know. So,
and I think rust would be the key part.
I think so. I think, because, like, I don't know if you can see out there, but, like, a lot of my work is outside and trying to. A lot of it depends on the weather, you know, and leaving it outside, letting it, some bits rust, pulling it in at the right time, you know.
Would you paint over that rust?
Yeah, so usually I'd put some kind of lacquer over it to seal it in, then I start working over the top of it. That's the plan for that one.
And do you enhance the rust, as in force it to?
Sometimes it depends. Like, when I got the metal shelving units, a lot of them were rusty, and I would really try and break that rust into it even more.
Yeah.
You know, so it depends on the piece, really. But I like that it's not all completely made by me. You know, a lot of it is naturally made. It's like, if I was trying to make the shape of rust, it would look unnatural.
Yeah,
you know, but it's kind of doing its own thing in that way.
And one of the questions I have here is, if there was you and five other artists, past and present, what would your ideal group show be?
It's tough, isn't it?
Especially as you work as a three. Yeah. If I use it as Edgar Arts is you, you know.
Yeah, because I work, I feel like it has to be shown together. It makes sense when it's together, you know. Yeah, it is a tough one. Probably everyone that I would want to, that I love their work, it would just probably make me feel shit about my work being next to it.
Yeah.
But, like, I love Francis Bacon, you know. Yeah. I love Francis Bacon. I love that kind of post-Second World War work.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, Beczynski, Lucian Freud, that kind of, because there's definite darkness with them as well, of, like, the you know, the horrible times that they've been, that they've lived through. Some people like that. But yeah, because everything that I make isn't, it is a thing that isn't an actual use, if you know what I mean. It's, yeah. It doesn't serve a purpose in some way. So I do love architecture for that thing that it's lived in. So I feel like a lot of my favorite work is architecture, to be honest. It's more like the buildings it would be in, I suppose, is the interesting thing to me. Yeah.
So would you work on something that is visually architectural, whether it be like a garage door or a piece of metal roofing, zinc roofing or something?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of like I went for a stage of doing a lot of stuff that was very like brutalist. Yeah. I really like that kind of obviously there's a lot in London, like the Barbican and areas like that, and then a lot in like Eastern Europe and stuff like that. That kind of thing I really love. But then I love the real modern. It's almost like a bird's nest, but a futuristic version of it. So it's kind of, I like a lived in area in that way. So yeah, I didn't really answer your question, but it's a tough one, isn't it?
Do you know Ken Curry, a Scottish artist? He does figures coming out of darkness, but they have a strong light on them.
It sounds like it'll be up my street anyway.
As soon as you see it, you'll see where I'm going with it.
Oh wow, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and a lot of them as well is quite like a tighter Francis Bacon as well, right? It's definitely got that kind of feeling. Yeah, I love them. It's really cool.
What has Edgar Arts got coming up?
So we're doing an exhibition, the New Artist Fair in Brick Lane, in a couple of weeks. It's the 23rd to the 25th of September.
Are you showing individually or as Edgar Arts?
We're showing as Edgar Arts. So we've got a 12-metre space for it.
Nice.
So that'd be cool. I've got a triptych that I haven't shown yet that I'd like to. This one I said that is sort of like 10 feet wide.
Yeah.
7 foot tall. Matt is showing a lot of his new MDF stuff that hasn't been shown yet.
Yeah.
And Jay's showing his oil paintings. So we've got that. We're in the Royal West of England open exhibition show. And then another exhibition next month that hasn't been announced yet, so I can't really say it publicly, I don't think, because he's told me not to, but an exciting thing next month as well.
Nice.
That would be showing work in,
and that's all and three of you
that
well.
That one's just me.
Oh, okay.
But there'd be a lot more coming up with all of us.
Nice.
Yeah.
So the one at Brick Lane for the New Artist Fair, I first see you a couple of months ago, well, when I met all three of you at Brighton. You were all showing there. It was very probably the hub of the exhibition. It was the Talented Art Fair. There was 100 or so artists, and yours was easily the busiest
stall, wasn't it?
It was
nice. We had a lot of people come down, people that get tattooed by us as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it was nice that they've supported us with everything we do. All of the people that get tattooed are there, which is brilliant. Nice. You know, it's like I think it's because they've all seen the work in progress,
a little bit of the journey.
100%. They've seen it in progress, and a lot of it as well will be like, oh, I found this technique on the metal, I'm going to put that into your tattoo. You know,
they've seen
the progress of it, so it's cool that we have that support. So we've got a lot of people coming to the London one as well.
Do you know where you are at the New Artist Fair, whether you're at the front or the back?
We've heard that it's in rows, and we're along the back wall, so we're filling up that whole back wall apparently. Okay. Like last time, we brought a lot of work and then ended up being able to scatter it around the place as well, you know, because as you've seen in the studio, we fill it up.
Matt's work is probably a metre by 700, would you say?
Yeah,
the ones we're looking at over there.
Yeah.
Jay's work is probably around about a metre square-ish or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And then you take the piss and...
Definitely take the piss.
And as we've said, yours are round about 7 foot by 3, maybe even 4 foot square. So you'll be taking up the space.
Yeah, greedy.
And do you know what you're going to be taking there? What people are expecting to see?
So I think I'm going to the triptych is quite a an imposing face, basically, but it, painted in this studio, it was kind of, I had to walk out into the car park to be able to see it, if you know what I mean, because it's too distance, you're too close. So I think I'm going to bring that, and then either side of it, I've got a male figure and then a female figure, so I think they're going to go on either side of that.
And is all the work for sale that all three of you have?
It is, yeah.
Do any of you do prints of your artwork?
Yeah, we do prints of everything.
Will they be on display? Or?
Yeah, we'll have prints there.
Excellent. And where can people find Edgar Arts, be it social media, website?
Yeah, we've got a website. It's just edgararts.com. And on Instagram, Edgar Arts. And we've all got, once you go on there, you'll find our individual ones as well. So
they splinter off.
That's it, yeah.
Right, Luke, that's all my questions asked.
Lovely.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Well, hope you enjoyed that episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. So we wasn't dictated to by advertisers, we decided from the offset to go ad-free, which means, obviously, we had to self-fund. So we set up the Ministry of Arts Patreon page. And without that support, we would not be able to produce this podcast. So if you like what you hear and you're able to support the podcast, just go over to the Ministry of Arts Instagram profile. You'll find a Linktree drop-down box, which will direct you straight to our Patreon page. And for the price of a cup of coffee, you can help keep us growing week by week. But if you're not able to do that, that's fine, because this content is free for everyone. But leaving a review on whichever platform you listen to your podcast, that really does help us get noticed and anyone else looking for an art podcast. Or even giving us a positive shout out on your social media. Everything is appreciated. But either way, thanks for listening. And until next week, Zad on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.